Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Mary Washington Healthcare, our focus this morning, and the Regional Cancer Center. And a new surgical oncologist is in town. We welcome the show and to the community, Dr. Jeffrey Pelton. Dr. Pelton, it's good to have you here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
We'll start off and just kind of talk a little bit about you. I saw something that you had received training at Johns Hopkins,
right?
So, which is kind of nearby.
Yeah. So that was more ancillary training that grew out of my experience initially with the finances and economics of healthcare. I had a long career in the U.S. Air Force, and then I came out of that into the civilian world. My initial first civilian employment was in Northern California, in kind of a private practice situation. It turned out to be not a very good business model, but I wouldn't have known that, having been in government medicine. So I was very interested initially in understanding some more about the finances and economics of healthcare, and the opportunity came up to go to business school with Johns Hopkins. They have a satellite campus in downtown Washington, D.C., near DuPont Circle, which was very close to the MedStar Washington Hospital Center where I worked. So I started out going to class there. Actually became kind of the highlight of my week on Thursday evenings to go down there and, you know, from 6 to 9:30 and just be a student and learn about accounting and medical economics and finance and things that I had no experience with. So it was more of an ancillary role in my education. It wasn't related primarily to what I did clinically. And then toward the end of that, I noticed that Hopkins also had a master's degree in biotechnology. Now, that is more in line with what I do as a cancer surgeon, particularly in the application of new technologies to clinical care and into the operating room. But school is expensive, and I had already spent quite a bit of money on business school. And I, to tell you the truth, though, some of those classes just were things that really interested me. Recombinant DNA technology, molecular biology of cancer. But at the time, I wasn't ready to invest that sum of money again. But not long after, I got a letter from the Veterans Administration that based on my 20-plus years of service in the military, I had full benefits for the new post 9/11 GI Bill. And so I jumped right in, and I then went on and got a master's degree in biotechnology from Johns Hopkins with a concentration in bioinformatics, which is the application of technology, particularly computer technology, to interpreting large volumes of scientific data. It has nothing to do with medical informatics, which is, you know, how you build electronic healthcare systems. This is something completely different. So this was actually science. This was how do you do 3D modeling of proteins and figure out how the proteins work? What do they do? Novel proteins that come from cancer cells, for example. And this did have some application to what I did clinically. So
that is one of the most interesting backgrounds. Usually and I got a couple of questions for you. First of all, over the years, doctors come through here all the time. I don't think I've ever had a doctor talk about just the kind of the business side of things and how you took classes. And it makes sense. And it seems like in this day and age, that is something that physicians have to be up on at least a little bit.
Yeah, as a profession, we've shied away from it. And there's reasons for that. We've always, our focus is on caring for patients. So we've tended not to be involved in healthcare economics, but we have to now. It's just something that every physician needs to be aware of, and it's how best do we spend the assets that we have, the money that's invested in healthcare. How does that get spent to the best good of the patient? It used to be kind of something that doctors looked at a little bit askance, like, like it was, I'm doing something wrong by thinking about this because I'm not about the money. I'm about caring for the patients. Well, that's true. However, you know, this costs something.
Yeah. No, yeah. So that's the first time that's ever come up. And the fact that you pursued that. The other thing, then going back to school and kind of taking the science look at a lot of things, you've got a lot of interest, it sounds like.
Yes. You know, I was drawn to surgical oncology because I like the complexity of the operations, the technical complexity of the operations. We all have to train in general surgery for these particular subspecialties, and I did general surgery training. I had a broad experience to a lot of things, including trauma, critical care, vascular surgery, cardiac surgery. But I was always drawn to the more technically complex and challenging cases, so that's what drew me to surgical oncology. And then the second thing is this whole aspect of the science behind cancer. I've trained surgical residents my entire career to this point, and I've said to them frequently that for some of these difficult cancers, like pancreas cancer, that when a cure is found for this someday, it's not going to be here in the operating room. Someone's going to come up with gene therapy, better chemotherapy, biologic therapy. Something other than surgery is going to cure some of these cancers. And as a cancer surgeon, I need to know what's being researched, what potentially holds promise that we can use to help these cancer patients, because some of these cancers are very difficult to treat, the solid organ cancers.
And we'll get into some of that as we go along this morning. Dr. Jeffrey Palton here this morning. He's a surgical oncologist with Mary Washington Healthcare at the Regional Cancer Center. What attracted you to Mary Washington Healthcare?
I looked at a lot of practices when I was making this transition in a lot of different environments. I think what really kind of caught my eye here is there's a tremendous need in the community for this particular kind of work. Patients here, if they need a particular kind of complex tumor operation, they often have to travel great distances, 60, 70 miles mm-hmm. to go and have the surgery done. And then their families have to board, they have to find some room and board in these places, and then often the patients have to stay there even after they're discharged from the hospital to recover more. When they go home, if there's complications, they have to make that trip again. And then also they have to go back for follow-up. So it's a real hardship to travel to get this done. And the patients didn't like it, and their doctors didn't like it. And so the community doctors around here and the surrounding counties here apparently have a pretty large population. I was told it's something like 450,000 people. We're talking about a lot of people who have to travel a long distance. So the doctors in the community approached Mary Washington and said, we really need somebody who can do these operations. And after looking at the need in the community, that's what first attracted me. And then also the quality of the care here is very, very good from the doctors, the other subspecialists, radiation oncologists, medical oncologists, family doctors who care for these patients with tumors and with cancer. Very, very good. And the organization is committed to meeting that need. So they're asking me, what do you need? What do you need to get this done? And they're making it happen. So.
It's interesting. You're another piece in the puzzle that as we continue to have in recent years, just various forms of care being made available. Like you say, mm-hmm. that you don't have to go out of the area now. And you feel that need again. So mm-hmm. this is another one, another box you can check off of when you have something serious where years ago you had to leave the area, you don't have to now.
And it's hard for families to do that. I've seen that on multiple occasions in all of my practices along the way, that when families go off even to very renowned medical centers and come back with complications, and now they're a long ways away from where they were treated and they had to go back, and it's a hardship for them. And their families.
Dr. Jeffrey Palton is here, the new surgical oncologist for Mary Washington Healthcare and the Regional Cancer Center. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, T. Ted Chubb.
Dr. Jeffrey Peltman with us this morning, the new surgical oncologist for Mary Washington Healthcare in the regional cancer center this morning. You mentioned just before we took the break, we were talking about how you really are filling a need. I guess, Dr. Pelton, the chance to build something has to be something that, I mean, you seem to be a very goals kind of person, and this has to be kind of a challenge to come in here and really set up something that can be meaningful to the community.
Yes, and that was something very attractive as well. There are many different kind of practice settings I found, and in my various searches for new positions, but some of them are turnkey, and there's some advantage to that, and that's attractive in some sense to be able to come in and just start doing your work right away.
Sure.
But this is a chance to really build something here. You know, the cancer center, a regional center of excellence. That term gets probably a little bit overused, but I think it is descriptive. But a chance to bring excellence here, to build something excellent, to bring together multiple specialties in the community, and to really deliver just fantastic care is exciting.
How'd you get involved in medicine? What led you to become a physician?
So it's something that I had an interest in since my boyhood. I was interested in the sciences, particularly the life sciences. I always knew I wanted to be in some sort of benevolent work. And, you know, that started to become sort of a natural thought process of becoming a physician. But in the sixth grade, my mother bought me a copy of The Doctor's Mayo. This was the story of the Mayo doctors, the father and the two sons, and how the sons in particular came to establish the famed Mayo Clinic. It's an incredible story. Just fascinating. The book is long out of print, but it was written shortly after the Mayo brothers passed, but it was actually commissioned, the author was commissioned by the University of Minnesota to get the Mayo story on record before they passed, because the University of Minnesota approached the Mayo brothers and said, you know, you're part of American medical history, and someone's going to write your story. So we want the story really told well. And they commissioned a lady named Helen Clapesaddle, who before the Mayo brothers passed, interviewed them extensively. And she also just talked to their colleagues, their friends, their family. She gathered all this information, and she just wrote a tremendous story. It's a biography, basically, of the Mayos and the foundation of the Mayo Clinic. But it reads like fiction. It reads like literature. And so I was very inspired by the Mayo story and by the Mayo brothers. Later on, when I was a senior resident in surgery, I found a hardbound copy in a used bookstore in Los Angeles. And it's one of my most prized books in my collection. And that story just inspired me in particular to be a surgeon. And that's when I really started thinking about being a surgeon in the sixth grade. And it just kept going from there throughout high school, college, and yeah.
Well, that shows elementary teachers and middle school teachers how formidable those mm-hmm. years really are and how they play a role. And parents, too, that something like that. Even though the book's out of print, I'm sure. Do you have a copy of that book?
I do. I have both the original paperback copy that my mom bought me when I was 12 years old. And then, like I said, I have this hardbound copy that has the photographs, and I keep that right in front of me and on my desk, and I look at it from time to time for inspiration.
That is interesting. That's something like that. And what a great story. And so how did you get, I guess you went through high school and decided to get into the Air Force?
So I went through high school, college with the intent of becoming a surgeon. It was really in college that I decided I want to be a surgeon. And I think I want to do something in the area of general surgery. I majored in microbiology and immunology at UCLA. When I applied to medical school, I come from a pretty difficult background from a socioeconomic standpoint. My father was a janitor. My mother was a homemaker. I have four siblings. We're a big family trying to live on a janitor's salary. So yeah. We didn't have much money. So when it came time to apply for medical school, I pretty much knew I was either going to have to borrow a lot of money or I was going to have to get a scholarship somewhere. And I looked into military for scholarships. Now, there's civilian programs called the Health Professional Scholarship Program, HPSB. And then there's actually a military medical school, the Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences in Bethesda, Maryland. And fortunately, I was accepted there. I was accepted at another civilian medical school and then turned down another interview at another civilian medical school because they were both private schools and expensive, and I knew I was going to be on a scholarship somehow. But at the Uniformed Services University, I basically was going to be on active duty and receive a salary for going to medical school in addition to not getting any monetary debt. So that began my long military career. The medical school is a fantastic medical school. It was pretty young when I first started there, but it's now 45 years old. The mission of the school is to train medical officers for the military, and it's achieved that mission. It's now, the last I'd heard, almost two-thirds of all active-duty physicians are graduates of the Uniformed Services University. Hmm. It's become a world leader in operational medicine, infectious disease, a number of other areas of research. It was a fantastic medical education, and my training there was fantastic. It was, the school was actually the vision of F. Edward Hebert, a Louisiana congressman who wanted to create a medical school that he called a West Point for doctors. And that was his vision of the school, and that's been the objective ever since. It was great education. And then from there, I proceeded on to be trained in the military in general surgery. I did my general surgery residency in the big Air Force Medical Center, the Wilford Hall U.S. Air Force Medical Center in San Antonio, which is now part of the San Antonio Healthcare Military Education Consortium. They joined up with BAMC. This was all driven by the BRAC Commission, the Base Realignment and Closure Commission. And so a big place. Training was fantastic. When I knew my interest was in cancer surgery, I then, following my general surgery residency, trained at the Fox Chase Cancer Center in Philadelphia, which is one of the nation's premier cancer centers. The military does not have specialty fellowships in surgical oncology, so I was sponsored by the military to go to Fox Chase and to get the training in surgical oncology, and then that began my career. I had to pay them back for all of that training.
Yeah.
And so I had, by the time I finished my obligation, I had 17 years of time toward retirement in the military. So we voluntarily stayed the last 3 years in the military to complete my career.
Yeah. Surgical oncology, is that a fairly new practice or, you know, form? Or I don't remember hearing about it until just recently.
No, that's
an
interesting
years.
Question. The short answer, it is, in the perspective of other disciplines, it is fairly new. And it's only in the last couple of years that it's actually become a separate board certified discipline. But the training has been around now probably for 50, 60 years. It originally started at the Memorial Sloan Cancer Center, Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York, as the first training center, and then kind of grew out of that in the 30s, 40s, 50s. And then in the last 40 or 50 years, other training programs have developed. But it is a relatively new field, yeah.
We're talking with Dr. Jeffrey Pelton here with Mary Washington Healthcare, the Regional Cancer Center. He's the new surgical oncologist here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. As far as where you see, and I know we're still in the early days of you being here, but the whole program here that you mm-hmm. see, what mm-hmm. do you see the future for surgical oncology with Mary Washington Healthcare?
Well, I would really like to see it become a point of destination medicine for the care of complex cancer within this region. That really, as a tumor and cancer surgeon, being part of a program of other cancer care physicians, including radiation oncology, medical oncology, and all of the supporting doctors, the family doctors, it's a very robust environment to have to care for cancer patients. It's not just the surgeons, it's others. But all of those forces combine to create a very focused environment to care for a patient's specific disease process. Mm-hmm. And that
that only happens in certain centers that develop this and become good at doing it. And that's where this term destination medicine comes from. That this is when patients within a certain geographic area have a complex problem, there is a point that they know they can be cared for well, and that's where they want to go. And that's so I'd like to see the program at Mary Washington Hospital become a site of destination medicine for this type of care. We'd also like to bring make sure that best practices are brought here. And that means the state of the art, up to the minute care, the new science, both clinical and basic science, the application of all of that to treating the disease. And so we want to stay on top of the clinical developments in clinical trials. We would like to, and this is already going on, we would like to participate in clinical trials because that's how we move the science of this forward, mm-hmm. and particularly in cancer care. Cancer is a very, very complex problem. And to move it forward clinically, we need to participate in clinical trials. And that has happened here. The medical oncology group in this region has been very active with that, and I think that that's already there. We can continue to participate in that and expand it. And then at some point, I'd like it to be such a destination point that we attract graduate medical education. We attract fellows and residents from some of the surrounding areas to come and train with us because of, you know, what we do and how well we do it.
And I guess as you talk about those things, I think that those are things still in this area, and I was treated in this area for cancer, but I remember after I was diagnosed that I had a number of people say, well, you don't want to, you know, you want to go mm-hmm. here, you know, you want to go to UVA, you want to mm-hmm. go north, you want to, you know, and not understanding what's available here. And I think that this component that you talk about, and then plus what's also being done here, will further show people just mm-hmm. the quality mm-hmm. of care.
Yeah, that's what we want to bring here. We want to bring that level of excellence here so that wherever it is you had to go, it sounds like it probably was a pretty good distance, and people face this all the time. And like I said earlier, that is a real hardship for patients and their families. So if we can build that here, that would be enormously gratifying for everybody.
I actually was treated in the community and got great care, and I'm a big fan of cancer care in this area. Dr. Jeffrey Pelton here this morning for the Regional Cancer Center. He's a new surgical oncologist. Much more coming up. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Jeffrey Pelton with us this morning from Mary Washington Healthcare with the Regional Cancer Center. He is the new surgical oncologist, and a great discussion here this morning. One of the things when I saw kind of your bio, Dr. Pelton, is you're board certified, and we often see that, but it's probably worth just mentioning mm-hmm. what that means and what that means to patients.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There is a body of it's not really a regulatory, but it's just more of a certifying body called the American Board of Medical Specialties. These are very esteemed doctors at the upper levels of their profession who create the standard of care or standard of training for providing care across the board in all specialties. So every specialty has its own board, all part of the American Board of Medical Specialties. So in my discipline, that board is the American Board of Surgery. And the American Board of Surgery sets the standard and requirements for our training particularly as general surgeons. So there are requirements for how many cases we have to perform okay. while we're in training. There are requirements for the types of cases and breadth of cases that we have to perform. And there are also non-technical aspects to our training in other disciplines such as gastroenterology and pathology and other aspects of our science that we have to learn. So the American Board of Surgery puts that all together and creates a process of examining us when we finish our training. That process involves initially a written examination that is 4 hours long that we have to pass as the first step toward board certification. Well, actually, I should say the first step really is you have to finish your training at an approved residency program. So in order to even get to that examination, you have to have trained at a approved program to be able to sit for the examination. And then while you're in training, each year, general surgery training is 5 years long in our case. Each year that you're in training, you also have to take what's called an in-training examination that's also administered by the American Board of Surgery. Now, that is not a prerequisite for eventually taking the big exam, but it tells the residency programs and their directors how well they're doing in training surgeons. And there's a certain level of performance on that American Board of Surgery in-training examination that's expected in order to pass the big exam. So you take that big exam initially, the written examination, and that then allows you to take an oral examination where for about 3 hours we are examined, given an oral examination presented with clinical scenarios, what we would do, how we would handle it, what type of operation we would do. And we're judged on how we manage the patients and are we performing the standard of care for what's presented to us. And so that's the board certification process. It's pretty rigorous.
Yeah.
And then we have to recertify every few years with written examinations and by taking courses in the graduate medical education.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Interesting. Mm-hmm. It never lets up. But it's to see that and to know what's behind that is you can feel good. As far as your philosophy of care goes, you've kind of touched on a few things. I'll just tell you what, after talking with you and getting to know you for the last 45 minutes or so, if I ever need any kind of surgical oncology, I want you. But as far as your philosophy of care goes, this seems to be something that you've thought quite a bit about and really have some you've got some key points on that whole thing.
Yeah, it's something I have thought about in a long considerable amount of practice. I've been in practice now for over 25 years, and you reflect on those things along the way. And it sounds like a complex question. What is your philosophy of care? But my philosophy of care is very simple. I imagine the kind of doctor that I would want if I were ill or had a serious medical problem, and then I try to be that doctor. I wish I could say that was an original thought, but it's not. And it actually comes from Helen Clape Saddle's The Doctor's Mayo. That was a question that was once asked of Charles Mayo, the younger of the two Mayo brothers. And that was pretty much his response. That, I remember that from my earliest days, even before I trained as a physician, and I came to realize after many years of study and training and practice that he summarized for me what is my philosophy of care. And it's a complex question, but it's quite simple. I imagine the kind of doctor I would want if I were seriously ill, and I try to be that doctor.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting. As I think about just the role that any kind of cancer doctor plays with the patients, because in my own case, a couple of the doctors that I I dealt with. I still am very close to them. My son, in an early 2000, had leukemia, and he was treated. And I remember that doctor became, because it's cancer, and it's that word, and just the fear. I guess you do have. Your relationship with your patients is a little bit different, I would think, than maybe some other kind of diseases.
It very much so. This is a process that you walk alongside the patient with them through this. I want to become their partner. I want to help them see this through. And as a surgeon, my focus is to do everything I possibly can to cure them. Along the way, you really get to know people. I have patients that over the years I've seen that basically we just, you know, I've become close to them, and it's been an honor to really go through them with that process. And one of the most satisfying things of doing this work is seeing patients 5 years, 7 years, even longer, who you've operated on, and they're cured. Last year, I was at a cancer survivors conference, and I was there just as an observer initially. And I was listening to the stories, and I recognized a patient on a break who was when I saw her, she was 40 years old. She was an attorney, getting started in her career. She was diagnosed with gastric cancer, with stomach cancer, which is one of these kinds of cancers that's quite difficult to treat. Mm-hmm. She had chemotherapy. We did a very extensive operation, very thorough dissection of lymph nodes, and then she went on to get more chemotherapy. I followed her for 5 years, and then I hadn't seen her for a while until this survivors conference. She came up to me on a break, kind of ambushed me with a huge hug, and it was now 12 years later. I hadn't seen her in 7 years, and 12 years since I operated on her. And she pulled me up on stage. I was not part of the invited speakers for the conference. It was all about the cancer survivors, and they had some of the doctors and nurses that cared for them were up there also. But she pulled me up on stage so that we could tell this story. And I'm happy to say there are others there are stories like that. And so that's very gratifying to be able to help people be cured of cancer.
Yeah, there's something about me, because locally, Dr. Vaughn was who I was my doctor. Mm-hmm. And I just consider him a part of the family now after, going through this. I look at all the different, we talk about different types of cancers, and I look at because you've mentioned things like pancreatic cancer or liver cancer, stomach cancer, but that's the thing about there's such a wide range. If you hear that someone has a certain kind of cancer, and all of a sudden you think, and other times it's like, oh well, if they got that early, they can do something with that.
Yeah, this word cancer is many, many, many different diseases, even. In a particular organ, like you look at breast cancer, for example, what we call breast cancer, there are dozens and dozens of different kinds of breast cancer that are driven by all kinds of different mutations. They behave differently clinically. They respond differently to different forms of treatment. And so that's all part of the complexity of caring for this disease. It's not just one disease. And that makes it a very fascinating discipline and a very challenging one. And so when that diagnosis is given, we have to sort out what are we dealing with here. I mean, this may be cancer of organ X, but that's part of a spectrum of whole different kinds of cancers, and we have to figure out what's going to be best here. What treatments work for this best? Where do we put surgery in this? Where do we put radiation therapy in this? And each case is individualized. Even in the case of, say, a single organ cancer, whether it's breast or pancreas, there's no one-size-fits-all treatment for that. And that's part of what scientists and clinicians are trying to figure out.
it's a very, very broad and challenging problem. Yeah.
Well, in so many things like leukemia in the 60s, you got leukemia and it was there was very little hope. Now I just recently saw for most leukemias, everything is just everything has changed on certain cancers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this so-called blood cancers, the non-solid organ cancers like leukemia and lymphoma, many of those are curable now. Even as early as the 1960s, lymphoma, for example, was incurable.
Yeah.
And one of the more popular stories about that was Mickey Mantle's family. You know, his father had lymphoma. He had an uncle with lymphoma. He had multiple male family members. Matter of fact, none of the male members of his family had survived past the age of like their early 40s. And it was, when you were told you had lymphoma, you were going to die. And you look at now today where most forms of lymphoma are curable. And even stage 4 lymphoma has about like a 65% cure rate. And the earlier stages are close to 100%. Now we have a much longer way to go with the solid organ cancers, you know, with the stomach cancer and the pancreas cancer and liver cancer and some of these solid organ cancers are different. And that's where as surgeons, we're part of the treatment of that.
Yeah.
And for many of these solid organ cancers, surgery, I say unfortunately, is the only way of curing it right now. But the better therapies need to come into play here, and that's being worked on. But
This is an exciting time, though, to be doing what you're doing and seeing some of these changes. Even though, like you say, there still is much work to be done with some of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fascinating field, and that's what you know really keeps us going. We're the only profession in existence that's trying to wipe out the reason we work. You know, there's not many other jobs that say that, but if we can eliminate disease and be out of a job, that would be ideal. Yeah.
Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Mary Washington Healthcare, our focus this morning. Dr. Jeffrey Pelton is here. He's the new surgical oncologist with the Regional Cancer Center. We will wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning. Dr. Jeffrey Pelton here with Mary Washington Healthcare, the new surgical oncologist with the Regional Cancer Center. As you've just been in town just a short time, Dr. Pelton, what would you like patients and other physicians to know about Dr. Jeffrey Pelton?
The most important thing that I'd like them to know is that I bring with me a wealth of experience and a track record of excellent results. In this particular field of surgery and surgery in general, our results are our results are public. People watch us operate, the anesthesia teams, the nursing staff, the surgical technicians, they watch us operate. Our results become known throughout the hospital on how our patients do in the ICU, on the ward, what operations have been done, who performed them, what are the results. And so you can't really, it's like a Major League Baseball player taking an at-bat. You know, when you step up to the plate, you've got a lot of eyes on you. You can't fabricate a result. And so our results become public and known. And over the course of a long practice, I'm happy to say we've had outstanding results. We have results that rival any of the best institutions in the country. And that's not an exaggeration. I mean, we track our results.
Yeah.
So there are objective data behind that. And that's what I want physicians in the area, and particularly patients, to know, that there is a track record of outstanding results that they can have confidence in. And that's part of building on excellence here in this new position in surgical oncology here.
And you mentioned earlier destination medicine. I mm-hmm. like that. That really is something that I see with you. That's mm-hmm. something that can be achieved now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And it's something that it kind of takes on a life of its own after a while. When excellence is established and good results are obtained, that just has a way of getting out there. Through word of mouth, physicians, patients, and then I've published quite a bit. We like to look at our results, both ongoing prospectively and looking back retrospectively, and putting out our results in particular with standards of national quality, like the National Surgical Quality Improvement Program and programs like that.
You mentioned a little bit earlier, we've talked a lot this morning just about mm-hmm. how difficult mm-hmm. the organ cancers are. Is there a certain mm-hmm. type of organ cancer right now mm-hmm. that you see great hope in, or where you're seeing something out there? I'm just asking you this out of the blue.
Yeah. Well, I mean, breast cancer has come a long way. I mean, now the cure rates with breast cancer are just unbelievably fantastic. And that's probably the one offhand where the biggest strides have been made in the last 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
The other type of cancer is colon cancer. When I was in training 30 years ago, we had one chemotherapy medicine and one medicine that went along with it to try to potentiate it. Just mm-hmm. one single chemotherapy medicine. There are at least a half a dozen now that are more effective, and that extends people's lives and their quality of life, and in some cases makes our job more effective in doing the surgery. So those are the two that kind of come to mind in the solid organ realm.
Yeah.
We're also making some advances with earlier detection, because that's where, with the solid organ cancers in particular, where early detection comes into play. And so the screening programs for colon, breast cancer, a little bit more awareness now of things like gastric cancer, stomach cancer as well. But those are the ones that kind of come to mind immediately. Yeah,
the screenings is important to go when you're supposed to, because mm-hmm. if it had not been for a routine screening, mine would mm-hmm. never have been seen. Mm-hmm. You've mentioned a couple of times this morning you've used some baseball analogies. You a baseball fan?
Big baseball fan.
Who's your team?
Well, we adopted the Washington Nationals.
Okay.
So we grew up in Los Angeles. We have a little bit of a soft spot for the Dodgers, but you know, we came here and we moved here only a year after the Nationals came to town.
Okay.
And I've played my whole life. You know, whoever said baseball is life really, you know, had it spot on. There are so many baseball analogies that are just true, you know.
Dr. Jeffrey Pelton with Mary Washington Healthcare, the Regional Cancer Center, the new surgical oncologist. Don't be a stranger. Let's do this more often.
Thank Absolutely. You. Enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.